Final Friday.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is the main event of the evening.
This is Morrow on the carry. He breaks tackles. He's across midfield. Morrow is off and running. Morrow to the 20, to the 10, and finally tripped up just short of the goal line.
It's time!
Now here's Brady Hall.
Football Friday. Welcome in, welcome in. 6 minutes after the 1 o'clock hour. Got a lot to discuss. A lot. Some huge, a monster game coming up in college football. This weekend at 1:30 tomorrow afternoon. Tennessee, Georgia, at Georgia. I mean, this is, you've got to be paying attention to this one tomorrow, right?
Of course.
Of course. Georgia is 8.5-point favorites.
That's crazy.
You asked me before we came on, you're like, who do you like? And I'm like, I don't know. I mean, 8.5 points. I almost want to take Tennessee in the points there. But then again, I could also see Tennessee winning.
No, it's Tennessee's very, very good offense against Georgia's very, very good defense. Kirby Smart versus Josh Heupel.
Something.
But it's kind of interesting because it puts Georgia in this position that Alabama's been in for a long time. You're the target. You're the best team in the country.
Yep.
And now this up-and-comer wants to come into your house and beat you.
Although it's Tennessee's the best team in the country, but
They're the up-and-comers. Georgia's defending champ.
The one that's done it, right? So, this is going to be a great game. Well, I wish it was at night, though. I wish it was
You got Bama LSU on Saturday night.
That's true, too. I'm looking forward to that one very much. Because I think Alabama needs to cover this. They need to win by 2 touchdowns. Because they're favored by 13.5. It's the optics of the situation for them to move up. You know, again, it's like it might not be the end-all be-all. They're still going to have opportunities. But if you go beat the hell out of LSU, you might have a chance just to move one up right there.
And it would clinch the SEC West.
Exactly. Game. You clinch that, beat them big. But I don't know if they beat them big. I mean, LSU, what are they, 6-2? They've lost two, haven't they?
Yes, they lost two. They got blown out by Florida State week one, and then they lost to Tennessee.
That's an interesting one. The Clemson-Notre Dame game is interesting. Clemson's only favored by 3.5.
I like Notre Dame in that one.
I mean, it's weird.
I really do.
There's a darn good shot of it. I mean, there's some interesting games going on this weekend. What else? Well, tonight's kind of interesting, the Pac-12. I mean, not like that interesting. But Oregon State is in the top 25. They are 23rd in the country. You know, in the Pac-12 standings, they are, I guess they're still a realistic shot because they're, how many games do we have left? Four games left?
Three or four.
And they're 2 games behind Oregon. They play Oregon. So, yeah, I mean, for Oregon State, they have a shot still. They're 1 game behind USC, UCLA, and Utah, and 2 games behind Oregon. They play Oregon. But Washington, you know, they haven't quite. I mean, they're 6-2, 3-2 in the conference. I guess they're right there. So this game would be the eliminator. Whoever loses this game is not going to be in the contention at this, to be at the top of the Pac-12.
Both teams coming in, Washington 2-game win streak, Oregon State 3-game win streak. Something's got to give.
So here's what I know, because I put a whopping $3 on it.
Did you get insight from Micah on this one?
No, I stopped. I should have taken it last time because I think whoever they played 2 weeks ago, I was like, they're going to cover, right? And I already put my bet in, and he's like, no, they're not going to cover. They'll win, but they're not going to cover. I think it was against Cal.
Or Arizona?
Yeah, they didn't cover. Washington's quarterback is a stud. Like, that guy is fun to watch. But here's what I know. There might be some weather rolling in. And that doesn't bode well for a pass-heavy Washington attack. Oregon State, on the other hand, great rushing attack. They're dealing with a backup quarterback right now. They are 29th in the country in rushing yards, which is pretty good. I mean, they're averaging about 200 yards per game. Whew, yeah, that's an interesting one, too. So Pac-12's got some intrigue, at least on a Friday. I always look for those Thursday night, Friday night games because it's like they're solo, they're by themselves, and you get one game to really focus on. Who do you like? Washington, Oregon State. I need some guidance.
I like Oregon State.
Do you? You like them winning outright or covering 4.5?
I like them to win.
Okay. I almost went there, but backup quarterback, weather might be bad, but I still like Washington's pass attack. So I think it's going to be a good game, actually. Maybe Washington gets a touchdown late, but we'll see. Broncos are off this weekend. They got their bye. Okay, we're getting our insight from Micah. So what are you advising me? Micah says Washington has no defense. Well, do they have enough offense to get going? You tell me. You're the Washington guy. They are 4.5-point favorites. Do they win? Do they cover? Tell me. Broncos off this weekend. They got Tennessee next weekend. And now we turn the page, we turn the calendar to the back half of the season and what we really need to see. I mean, Nathaniel Hackett, obviously, is on the hot seat. But I've kind of put together my four, I'm not even going to say players, there's a couple players here, but my four kind of entities or whatever that have to step up in order for the Broncos to come out of this thing and actually give some hope for the playoffs. And I don't know how far away that really is, but if you beat the Titans, you come back after your bye and you win, I think there's going to be some belief there. But that's why, you know, again, Titans aren't going to be easy. But who needs to step up the most? Obviously, quarterback play. Russell Wilson has to be better. He cannot be average. And that's what he is right now. You got him. You traded for him. You signed him. It's looking like a monster mistake. You have to prove those doubters wrong. And what we saw in the 3 touchdown drives against the Jags, and the mega touchdown drive against San Francisco, and that Raiders game, that's what we need to see from Russell Wilson.
Saw this new tweet from Russell.
Oh.
At Dangerous Wilson on Twitter 12 minutes ago. Keep working, period.
I'm sure people are going to rip that apart. Oh, he's working. What does he mean? That nobody else is working and he's the only one working?
A lot of Geno Smith mentions in his replies.
Oh, my gosh. I'm sure, dude. Go. Tune it in. At some point, Denver Post, Denver Media, somebody, Tanner Schwint, they're going to hear, keep working and go, what is that supposed to mean? That everybody else isn't working?
But Russ, it's 2 o'clock on a Friday afternoon.
Hey, Russ, I worked hard all week. I need to go have a beer. What is that supposed to mean? You judging me? Are you judging me, Russ? Seriously, that's how people have done this. The guy can't do anything. I'm sure that tweet is getting torn apart.
What are you working on, Russ? Your high knees?
You're just as guilty. Look at you, Angel.
I just think it's funny.
You're becoming one of them.
Oh, no.
Don't let him consume you.
I'm indifferent towards Russell.
Don't let the Russ hate consume you.
I don't hate him. I just find him very, very cringy.
I think you've been around Tanner too long.
I mean, Tanner and I are close in age, so we can kind of agree on some things. Russell is just kind of cringy.
I don't know if it's cringy. Is that cringy? Is that tweet cringy?
No, but the replies are just funny. It's just like you tweet 2 words and he's going to get 100 replies.
It's ridiculous, man. But that's it. I mean, he's doing it to himself. If I knew that everything I did was going to just get torn apart, I'd probably stay quiet for a while until I won. And then I would tweet at everybody and say, boom, told you so. But that might be a while. Russ has got to be big. Your boy, Jerry Jeudy, has to step up. I like Greg Dulcich. I am not comfortable relying on a rookie to come in and be a has-to-step-up guy. I don't know where Courtland Sutton's head is at this point, but it doesn't seem right with the Broncos. And we are waiting to see. I mean, they had offers for Jerry Jeudy, Green Bay especially. I think Chicago, right, maybe before the Chase Claypool thing?
New York.
New York.
The Giants.
So, and then Green Bay, I mean, you know Aaron Rodgers wouldn't have minded throwing it deep to Jerry Jeudy, see what happens. Then he would have yelled at him for dropping it, and then we'd have a big problem there in Green Bay. I think Judy's got to start being a guy, man. He's got to start being a special guy. He was a first-round guy, top 20. So I'm looking at him. He has to do something. Him and Russ have to get on the same page. Oh, the Avs are up, by the way. 3-0. I just got an alert. Just saw it. There we go. Finland, man, is good to the Avs. On the rest, the other four entities here, Russell Wilson, Jerry Jeudy, the pass rush, whoever it is. Because here's the deal. Bradley Chubb is gone. For the optics of the situation and honestly what you need for the defense, you got to have guys that can still go out and get after the quarterback. You can't have zero sacks from your pass rushers first game against Tennessee. Although Tennessee runs the ball so well, they don't have to put their quarterback in many situations where he's dropping back deep. Hopefully they can get a lead, and maybe that's the case. So if it's Jonathan Cooper and then the newly signed Jacob Martin or the newly traded for Jacob Martin, Jacob Martin, you're a local guy. Maybe you can take some of that and ride with it. You know, maybe something like sparks you, rejuvenates your career. But then when Baron Browning and Randy Gregory come back, yes, the pressure's going to be on them. Nick Benito, rookie. I'm asking a lot from you. I don't like relying on a rookie, like I said with Greg Dulcich, but you don't have a lot of options here unless Jonathan Cooper and Jacob Martin can be decent or good until Baron Browning and Randy Gregory get back. Those are going to be big. I'm looking at that pass rush. Very confident in the secondary. You know, the linebacking play has been solid. Josie Jewell and Jonas Griffith, solid. Not a lot I complain about. Alex Singleton coming in, they've been all right. So now it's on this pass rush. What's this pass rush look like? Special teams. For an offense that's been struggling so much, man, if you can get this guy, Montrell Washington, who we really liked in the preseason, he was one of the guys that we did see in the preseason, you got to start getting something big. And I know punt returns are, we don't see a lot of great punt returns anymore, but just turning the field a little bit. You field it on the 25, can you get it to the 40? You know, can you come up with a special play to get your team to midfield? And, you know, as good as Brandon McManus has been, you want to see those monster kicks coming in where that confidence level is there. Has he been shaky? I don't know if shaky's the right word. He's missed a couple. It was very windy one of the games. Was it against the Jets? The wind was going crazy, and then, okay, fine. But come up with some big-time kicks here. Because, again, this is going to be an offense that I don't think is fixed by the time the bye week hits. I think they're going to be better, but I don't think it's fixed. And so you're still going to be kicking field goals. You're still going to be punting the ball deep. And hopefully your defense can get stops, and then you get, because we know this defense is going to force teams to punt. So Montrell Washington and this punt blocking unit will have to step up and be better. So those are kind of my keys for the Broncos as far as who needs to step up in the second half of the season. All right, when we come back, the NFL power rankings. Are the Philadelphia Eagles the real deal? It did feel like a trap game. It felt like that was going to be one of those games where it's Houston Texans, it's Thursday night, it's Amazon, the curse of Amazon Prime football video, whatever it is going to take hold, and the Eagles aren't going to win. They went through, it was tied at half and all that stuff, but they battled through it. Strangely enough, it was a bad team, Angel, in Houston, but I think it was like a really important win for Philadelphia because it did feel, I mean, I heard Brian Gary, our guy Brian Gary, took the Texans to win. The thing of it is, I can't make fun of him. Because I felt like a lot of people thought, if there's going to be a trip, this is going to be the night it happens.
No, and the Texans, you know, they're a down organization, but, I mean, watching Lovie Smith, he looks like he has those guys bought in.
Kind of, and he's got the white beard, so.
He said his wife loves the beard, that's why he keeps it.
Oh, man.
Gotta make the wife happy.
Dude, that beard, that's got to be my favorite beard.
It's one of the better ones in sports.
It's just this white Santa Claus beard.
It presents wisdom.
It does. Yeah, he looks wise. I've always been a Lovie Smith fan. I don't want to see him without a beard, though, anymore. If I see him without a beard, I'm going to be like, hoo-ah, who is that guy? But the Eagles win 29-17, 8-0. When do you start? I'll ask you on the other side, Angel. You answer this question on the other side. When do you start believing that they're going to go undefeated? We'll talk about it next. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy, a Northern Colorado's voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Coming down to the latter day, we got many moons that are deep in place, so I keep an eye on the shadows.
Join Clark Johnson and Bruce Dick for Clark and the Coach, weekdays at 10 on Northern Colorado's voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Jerry Schimmel, voice of the UNC Bears and host of Amazing Americans, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Okay, the Philadelphia Eagles are undefeated. And can they stay that way? They beat the Texans 29-17, which they didn't cover the spread. Another Thursday night special fail, but whatever. It's fine. It's fine. It's okay.
You'll get one eventually.
Yeah, sure. At some point. I'm positive. I hit all the Thanksgiving games. So that's what I'm waiting on.
You can always count on Detroit to lose that one.
I hit all three Thanksgiving every year, probably. Look it up somewhere. When do you start believing in a team? Like every, you know, we have this quite a bit. Steelers were 11-0 a few years ago or whatever. You get to a certain point where you go, is this team going to do it? Now they're 8-0 right now. So I'm not there yet. When do you start? And I'm not talking about the Eagles right now. Just overall. When a team is undefeated, when do you start looking at and going, they could go undefeated this year? Just in the regular season.
I think it's right around the last 2 weeks of November into December, when the games, obviously the games mean a lot more during then, but it's usually those teams that are hot coming into the playoffs usually have a lot of success and they're, you know, favored. With the Eagles, and I was looking just at Pittsburgh's 2020 season, like you said, they started 11-0 and then lost four of their last five games.
And I remember at that point, we all kind of said, yeah, they're 11-0, but our, you know, it doesn't feel... Are the Eagles there? Are they like that to you? Because, again, you look at the schedule, and the Lions, no, we're not. No, that's not a big win. The Vikings weren't as good as they are now.
That was also a Monday night
game. It was Monday night. Kirk Cousins struggles in the lights. They went 24-7. Commanders, they're even worse then than they are now, and which, actually, they have kind of some hope right now with, you know,
Heineke.
With old... Heineke beer guy.
Heineken.
Yeah, that's what I wanted to go with. Forgot the name of the beer, too. Totally botched that one. Jaguars, which still maybe a little better, but not really. Cardinals. I don't really believe in the Cardinals too much. Cowboys, kind of.
That was with Cooper Rush.
And let's see.
Then it was
Steelers.
Pittsburgh and then Houston.
So... They got the Commanders up next. They win in that.
That's a Monday night game in Washington. That could be a tough game. Divisional opponent.
Well, and they're kind of believing old Heineken beer there.
They like Heineke. They like Scary Terry. Got Green Bay on Sunday night in Green Bay.
Interesting. Are the Green Bay Packers going to get this right? And maybe they're starting to get it right around that time. I don't know. Starting to think that the Packers' time's running out for me this year. I don't know. You think they can recover?
I don't know. It looks bad. Seeing the frustration on Rodgers week in, week out, it's when's the breaking point for him? When does he just lose it and just like attack somebody?
Jeopardy! Is there Jeopardy I can do? Anybody? He just starts doing Jeopardy. In practice, because he's like, I know the job's not available anymore, so
like
I'm not...
Like a wide receiver that can catch for 400?
Yes, he just stands, he wears a suit to practice. They're like, what are you doing? What do you mean? I'm getting ready for... I've got my cue cards here. I'm getting ready for... He like snaps and just goes away from football altogether.
Maybe he needs a haircut.
Okay, so you tell me then. Do they beat the... Yes or no? Do they beat the Commanders?
I don't know. That game
Gun
is
to your head.
For me.
You gotta answer.
Yes.
At Indy.
Yes.
So they are 10-0. Home against the Packers.
Home against the Packers.
Yep.
Probably a win.
So they're 11-0. Home against the Titans. They might be the team that could shut down Derrick Henry. They got an up. Their defensive line is really good. Hargrove or whatever. That guy is ridiculous.
Yeah, their defense is really good, but that's also about the time Derrick Henry usually gets rolling late in the year. They'll probably still win it because Tannehill or Malik Willis can't do anything. No.
So you've got them, what is that now, 12-0?
Yep.
At New York Giants, Daniel Jones.
I think they could drop that game.
So, okay, that's it.
That would be the first time they play the Giants this year.
Is that their first? So you got their, they lose. Yep. Okay, then we're done. Undefeated season over, according to Angel, December 11th at New York Giants. I could see that happening. And they play the Giants again later on.
They have a three-game road stretch in December.
Do you root for this or do you not care? I mean,
I root
for
them
the undefeated
lose.
Season?
No.
You don't want anybody to get it?
No.
Other than the Dolphins?
Only one
because
team
you're a Dolphins fan now.
Yes. All of our old timers waiting to drink their 72 champagne, they will be drinking on Sunday, December 11th.
Yeah, they will. I think it'll happen at some point. They play the Giants twice, they still have the Cowboys. They're not, like, obvious. Like, it's not the Bills and the Chiefs in there. But these are games, yeah. And Giants, they have me believing. They really do.
You believe more in the Giants or the Eagles?
Is it weird that I'm, like, I'm in on Daniel Jones, man? Yeah, I'm kind of, like, in on the Giants. I never thought I'd say that because Daniel Jones was the most quarterback to me. Like, what are you, man?
He's a random generated player.
You just look like a random guy. That's Daniel Jones. He's like a 78.
One.
He can kind of move, but not really.
He's unknowingly fast.
But now
for some
he
reason.
Can. Yeah, like I didn't see him in college. Did he do this in college?
I couldn't tell you. I know he played at Duke, but I didn't watch a single snap of his.
Oh, who watches Duke football?
Duke fans.
Yeah, right.
Maybe not.
I don't even know if Duke fans watch football. I think they just watch replays of Duke basketball. During football season. They just watch it during a football game. I didn't know Daniel Jones could move. I didn't see him move like that his first couple of years in the league.
Well, he had that one run that he tripped on.
Yeah, what was it, like an 80, 70?
Oh, yeah, it was a breakaway touchdown run. He fell at like the 15.
But that wasn't even that fast, was it? Like, we were all
no,
surprised.
But you'll see a video of him running, and like the DBs will just look at him go by. Like, he can't be that fast. He's like 6'2".
Yeah. That was,
he's not the most athletic-looking person.
No, he doesn't. He doesn't
like,
come across.
Just, he
as
looks
somebody.
Like a discount Eli Manning.
Kind of, yeah.
That's no offense to Eli.
No,
he won two Super Bowls.
Eli was good, according to Tanner Schwinn. He's a Hall of Famer, which he's not.
He is.
No.
He won two Super Bowls.
Doesn't matter. So did Terry. Terry Bradshaw's in there. Two Super Bowls. Two Super Bowls. Let's see. So. By that standard...
Is Peyton Manning in the Hall of Fame?
Oh, absolutely.
He's got two Super Bowls.
His records, his numbers.
I mean, but you stopped Brady twice.
Yeah, but he
beat an undefeated Patriots
team.
He
didn't.
Yeah, but his team did.
They were 8-8 that year. They were, like, not good, and then they just caught fire. That's what Joe Flacco did. Joe Flacco did that, too.
Flacco in the Hall of Fame?
No. No. And I've even changed my stance on Phillip Rivers. No.
Yeah, Phillip is no.
No. Super Bowls are great.
Well,
that's part of it.
And then what's the point if you win a Super Bowl and you don't get in?
Well, should Nick Foles be in the Hall of Fame?
For that one game, yes.
what's his name? The Ravens quarterback. Back the first Super Bowl that they won with Ray Lewis. I guess they won two with Ray Lewis. Why can't I think of his name? Wow. Awful. Cannot come up with his name. But he should not be in the Hall of Fame. Two Super Bowls is huge. Yes, that's why Eli Manning is one of the most interesting conversations. But do you look at Eli Manning and go, that's a Hall of Famer? Like his career, his numbers, that's a Hall of Famer. I don't. It's not the quick eye test. Peyton Manning, yes. Tom Brady, yes. Aaron Rodgers, yes. Eli Manning, no. Not there. He'll get in, though. The argument is he will absolutely get in. No, McClain, I wasn't thinking of Joe Flacco. I was thinking of Trent Dilfer, ladies and gentlemen. Should Trent Dilfer be in the Hall of Fame? No. Should Joe Flacco? No. If he only had one Super Bowl, we wouldn't even be talking about this with Eli. He wouldn't even be coming
up. But he has two over Tom Brady.
But their defense was really good. That was a Strahan
defense. The Patriots were really good.
Their defense stopped Brady. Eli didn't stop Brady. Eli, I didn't see Eli make a tackle. Maybe after he threw an interception.
Josh Allen didn't lose to Patrick Mahomes last year.
Josh Allen played enough to get them to overtime, though.
No, but he lost.
True. He did. He did.
I saw this debate yesterday in terms of win-loss, and you hear that it's like, oh, win-loss isn't a quarterback stat. How come no other player has a win-loss when you talk about him? You don't say, oh, this running back was 12-3.
Not really.
Team.
Yeah, you don't really talk about that.
So if it's not a quarterback stat, why do only quarterbacks get that stat?
That's the quarterback. That's the life of the quarterback. They get all the fame. They get all the negativity. They get the win. Like, it's on them. They also get the Super Bowl pedigree, too. Like, if you're a D tackle, and you're a good D tackle, but you're just like an okay D tackle, and you won a Super Bowl with the Broncos, and then you go, you play for the Bills, and then you win a Super Bowl there. You're not like, oh man, he's great. He got two. You're not really talking about him like he got two Super Bowls. He's more a part of two Super Bowls. The quarterback is the one we always talk about. He's great, but he doesn't have the Super Bowls.
What about Von Miller?
That's different because he was like not an average. He changed the course of those games. He picked off Tom Brady in the playoffs. He forced two fumbles on Cam Newton and led to scores. So, I mean, that different. Some guys, you say that in a different way. But for the most part, you don't do it like top running backs like Derrick Henry. Yeah. But are we going to judge Derrick Henry by any success in the playoffs? He's a Hall of Famer. He will be.
He will be.
He's on the
He might not have a Super Bowl, but...
He might not even make... They might not even do anything else for the rest of his career as far as playoffs go.
But he'll get in because of his records.
Yes. He'll get in because of numbers.
But when you don't have the records, Super Bowls should matter.
You have to have... It's a mixture of both for quarterbacks. It's a mixture of both. You got Super Bowls. Like Terry Bradshaw is in the Hall of Fame. Is he one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time? No. He has four Super Bowls, but the steel curtain. So these are fun debates because I am strict of my Hall of Famers, Angel. I am very strict. According to me, there's only like 10 people in it. You can play a game. Anybody you want, throw it at me, and I'll tell you that the game is, if it's not instant, then they're not in.
Jim Kelly.
Oh, yes. Wasn't he? Wait.
Bills quarterback.
Was he the quarterback that went to all four? Yes. You went to four Super Bowls? Yes.
You lost all four Super Bowls.
He went to four of them, though.
Dan Marino.
Yes.
He didn't win a Super Bowl.
I know. The numbers. The numbers were so good, they outweighed the Super Bowl.
John Elway.
Yes. For obvious reasons.
Donovan McNabb.
No.
Matt Ryan.
No.
MVP?
Mm-mm.
Nope.
Mm-mm. And again, I'm not arguing with who's in or who's going to get in. A lot of these guys will probably get in, but this is my Hall of Fame deal. This is my strict thing that they should go by because we would really honor truly the greatest of all time. Anybody else? You can ask other players too.
I don't know why this name was in my head. Tony Romo.
No. Yeah, but about current players now? Ask me, like, running backs, whatever.
Calvin Johnson.
Yes. Yes. Okay. See, that was quick enough.
Steve Smith Sr.
No. Close, but no.
Yeah. That's a fair litmus test, I must say.
It is. It's how I do it, man. So, if I ask you, and you can't answer quickly, if it's not obvious, they shouldn't be in. That's it. Champ Bailey. So, you probably didn't grow up with the Champ Bailey
stuff. Yeah, I watched Champ
Bailey. Did you? He's a Hall of Famer. I mean, he is. Definitely.
Charles Woodson.
Yes.
Keep Tlaib.
No. No. That was tough for me, but no.
Richard Sherman.
No. Man, that's close. See, I'm very strict, though. Is Richard Sherman in the same category as Dion? Is he in the same category as Charles Woodson? Did he do it for long enough? He was also a part of an amazing defense.
Right.
See, there's the instant reaction, and then you start breaking down why you go there. He's close. I'm probably wrong on Sherman.
LaDainian Tomlinson.
Yes.
Okay. Kyle Orton.
Oh, absolutely. Kyle Orton for sure. All right, let's take a break. The UNC Bears are at Portland State this weekend. The CSU Rams are at San Jose State. And then a bunch of other stuff. CU Oregon, are we watching that game? That is going to be a massacre. Oh, the Ducks are going to be quacking all over the place. Let's get the latest on the local sports flash.
This is Joel Cantalamessa from RamNation.com. You're listening to The Hull Show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Totally forgot about future headlines, Angel. Got any for me?
Yeah, let me think real quick.
I asked him during the break. I'm like, you want to do future headlines? We forgot. He's like, no. It's like, I'm going to throw them at you anyway.
Buffs get waddled on by Oregon Ducks.
Yes, they absolutely get waddled on.
Okay. Bears show signs of life but lose fifth straight.
I don't think they show signs of life. But I don't know. I haven't made my picks yet.
Rams to be a surprise. Shock Spartans in Mountain West upset.
Mm-mm.
Nope.
Mm-mm.
All right. I got my two last night, and I'll take it.
Yeah. Well, wait. You say you got them, but I agreed with you, so we both get them.
But they're my headlines.
But I'm telling you if they're coming to if they're happening. I'm the host. I'm telling you that they're going to happen or not. So we should take a tally from.
But they're already printed. We just have it's whether or not we get to distribute them.
Okay, fine.
My editors work too hard to have their credit. Not given.
I take credit for everything. We should take a tally of these. You keep your score. You keep my score, and then we see where we're in the middle too. Because we can be friends once in a while.
You just want more negative records, don't you?
No. This one, I think we're probably tied on this one. But you aren't keeping track.
You just need to be under 500 for everything.
No, I'm going over 500. Coming up next, actually. We've got the picks coming up. This is the weekend that we're getting over 500. Hold on, Angel. I do have a four-pack for Monday's game. The UNC women's basketball team is taking on Northern New Mexico. That is going to be a great one at the Bank of Colorado Arena. A four-pack, heck of an opportunity to take the family out, take the friends out. Four-pack right now. For UNC women's basketball taking on Northern New Mexico next Monday night at 6 o'clock. Let's go. Caller number 1-970-353-1310 or toll free 877-353-1310. Caller 1, you got a four-pack to go see the Bears in action on Monday night, 970-353-1310. We'll be right back. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy.
The latest on your local football teams during your drive to work with Good Morning NoCo on Northern Colorado's Voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Chris Abshire, Fort Collins, Colorado, and you are listening to The Hull Show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
It's time to make our picks here, Brady Hall.
All right, here we go. You know what? I went even last week. I went 2-2, so I didn't gain any ground. The goal is to get over 500. And as you know, if you follow along at home, I pick between Wyoming, UNC, CSU, CU, and Air Force, and the Broncos. Broncos are off this weekend. The Cowboys are off this weekend. So we have four games to take a look at. Air Force taking on Army. Always love this game. Air Force is a 7-point favorite going up against the Black Knights this weekend.
Found out this game is being played at Globe Life Park in Arlington.
Yeah.
So the Rangers baseball stadium.
That'll be kind of interesting, huh? Does that change things? I believe that the real Air Force is still somewhere in there. And I'm going with Air Force to cover -7. Oregon at Colorado. The Ducks need a blowout win. You know, that just helps your resume. Not that it's going to help much, but if it's a close game, it hurts. If they win like 31-21, that hurts. They got to blow them out. They're going to do it. They're going to cover -31.5. Hate doing that, but that's where we are now. The UNC Bears are at Portland State. I'm telling you, Angel, my faith in the Bears is just gone right now. It's just in the dumps after that UC Davis game. I like the Vikings in this one. Portland State gets the dub. CSU at San Jose State. Yeesh. Next year. Rammies, next year. But this weekend, you're not covering plus 24. So San Jose State gets the win, and they cover 24. This is the week, Angel. This is where we get over the hill. We're going to get over that hump. We're going to be over 500. And then from there on out, it's going to get really, really. I'm just still digging out of that hole that I started the first couple of weeks. It takes some time. But we've battled back. We're within reach. We can smell over 500. Just got to get it this weekend with only four games to choose from. So looking forward to it. Some great games outside of these. These four games are not like the most appealing to me at all. Tennessee, Georgia, Alabama, LSU, hell, Washington and Oregon State are better games than our local situation here. So should be a fun weekend. Avs are up in Finland 3-2. We got a game there, though. They were up 3-0. A lot of fun activity going on this weekend. Hope you are safe. Have a great sports weekend. Hooligans, good night, Northern Colorado.